This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 48 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Apparently, five times is the charm. We had some issues trying to go live here. I think my internet was messing up. I had to reboot everything, but we seem to be up and running smoothly now. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook Live every Tuesday and Friday night on the Going for Two Facebook page, and we're streaming in the Going for Two app. If you haven't been with us before, you should already know the crew. Gerson, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good, man. Basketball season's back. Football season's here. I mean, that's like the greatest time for me. Like, it's like both of my love together. Like, if I had like a girlfriend and a wife, I would combine them together, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I've had a pretty busy week, and I haven't been able to play too much basketball. I've just been kind of plugging in like a couple lineups here and there, not doing too much research. I haven't been able to dive in deep yet, so I'm hoping to start that by next week. And we got Tim here as well. Tim, how you doing tonight, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good tonight. I told y'all I just got done moving. I'm settled into my new place and ready for another good week.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. I'm not going to waste any time since we're kind of getting a late start here with all the issues that we had trying to go live. So we'll go ahead and jump right into the slate here. Just from a quick overview, this slate this week is kind of tough. What do y'all think about this slate this week? I mean, I was trying to look for some good plays, and they just don't jump out on the page to you.
I agree. It's ugly. Ugly slate.
It's a pretty ugly slate. Gerson, what do you think of the slate? You think it's ugly, or you like it this week? You like every slate, though.
I think it got way better today with a lot of news that broke today. I don't really want to ruin the plays, but... there's two plays that I think really help like balance out the whole slate. I'm excited, but at the same time, we have to take notice that this week is like the least teams we have on one slate. I think we have four games that are off the slate, and then we have four teams on a bye week.
Yep.
So you're taking away about, I don't know, 4 times 4 = 12.
I think there's 10 games, so 20 teams are playing today.
Yeah, so like where we have almost that many teams, so it's kind of like, you know, you got to pick your spot.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and just get right into the quarterbacks here. We'll start with you, Gerson, since we were already there. Any elite quarterbacks you're looking at this week? Any top level quarterbacks?
I say the only quarterback that I'm looking to pay up for is going to be Jared Goff. He leads the Rams offense, and they're the best offense in the NFL, first in DVOA offense. Overall, they did lose Cooper Kupp, but this offense just seems like an offense that it's just like, hey, we can put this guy in, and boom, you know, just keep going. I mean, right now they're coming in at a 31-point total, implied total, and they're the highest on the slate. I see Goff. I mean, he is a little bit pricier than what people want. I believe he's $6,800, if I'm correct. Right?
On DraftKings or FanDuel?
On DraftKings. Oh.
He's 66.
Yeah, let me pull up my FanDuel pricing. Sorry, Jeff.
No, you're good. He's 83 on FanDuel.
I mean, 83 is not that bad for a FanDuel play. I mean, like, I'll take him because they're going to score a lot of points. I mean, this is no offense to... San Francisco 49ers are not that great of a defense. I mean, they've improved on the run defense. I'll give them that. But their pass defense kind of still mediocre. You know, Richard Sherman doesn't fear me. And we saw what Aaron Rodgers just did, you know. He made a comeback just by passing the ball.
Yep.
And I've got to say, I respect the Green Bay Packers and everything to Tim, but the Rams are just a better offense, you know.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Tim, what you got over on DraftKings there? Oh, before we get to that,
Garrison.
Hold on, before we get to that,
golf play.
Hey, Tim,
plenty of exposure to him this week. But two other guys that I like at the top are Tom Brady. I know he's got a tough matchup against the Bears, but I think that they're going to put a good game plan together here. I think that you can attack the Bears through the air, and I think that last week they got a little bit of an idea of how to attack this team. Obviously, Brady's much more talented, so I think he's going to be able to, you know, I don't think he's going to, you know, he's going to be able to put up some points on this team. And then another guy that I'm really high on, he may end up being my highest exposure quarterback, is going to be Cam Newton. I think that this game's got sneaky shootout potential. Not a lot of people are expecting it. It's got like a 45 over under. So not a lot of people are on it, but I think Cam's in a great spot here. You want to attack the Eagles through the air. He's 5,900. He's get a, you know, bit of a discount on DraftKings. So I'm going to load up on Cam Newton this week. I think he's got a ton of upside for his price.
All right. Good stuff. I was trying to cut you off there because I want to congratulate you on your big win Monday night. We gave you a run for your money, but y'all end up getting this at the very end.
Yeah, man, it was a great game. It was. I was hanging on right to the end.
Yeah, definitely.
Couldn't believe it.
I think I've told you before, my wife actually is a Packers fan, so I had to watch it there with her, and she's, of course, all excited when they end up scoring and winning, and I was like,
It's
like time for you to go to bed.
I was ragging hard on Kevin King. He had had a couple of bad games, and to see him come up at the end and get that pick there, and really, I was kind of happy for him in that, be able to go down and win that game. So
yep.
The only other guy I was really feeling happy for this week was Kenyon Drake. I'm sure y'all saw that he almost lost that game in overtime.
Yeah,
he was on the sideline praying, please don't let us lose this game. And you know, obviously the Dolphins came back to win, so I was happy for him as well.
Yep, definitely.
I wouldn't have wanted to be him in that locker room.
No,
for sure.
Definitely not. Yeah, I don't have any plays to add. Actually, I'm not really high on any of the elite quarterbacks this week. I'm looking to more of the mid-range value guys. I do have Goff on my list, but we've talked about him already, so I won't bring him up. So let's go ahead and stick with you, Tim. Let's go ahead and do your mid-tiers and your value quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, and I told you I'm high on Brady this week. I think that this game, you're going to run it back with Mitch Trubisky. I think that he's another good option if you want to stack the game the other way in the mid-range. Another guy I'm really high on this week is Joe Flacco. Obviously, he gets the Saints. He's, you know, one of the worst defenses in the league, and he's at home, so I always like that. I like some of his options we'll get to later. And probably the one play that I'm most conflicted about this week is your boy, Jeff, C.J. Beathard. I am definitely trying to decide on my C.J. Beathard exposure this week. I will have him. It's just how much Beathard I want this week.
Yeah, I actually got a note on him because he actually is on my value list as well. And I can see Gerson's got him on his value list as well. But I had a note written down that if y'all didn't talk about him, I was going to do this note. So over the last three games, there's only four QBs using FanDuel scoring that has at least 19 FanDuel points over the last three games. Those four guys are Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, and C.J. Beathard, if you can believe that. So, I mean, he's definitely been performing. I think that his legs give him a little bit of a high floor because he can run the ball. I think last year, I've said it multiple times, I think he had four rushing touchdowns last year in limited action. And the Rams, I mean, we think of the Rams as a good defense, but they haven't been dominant this year. I mean, I think they're 17th DVOA overall, 24th DVOA over wide receiver ones, which we basically, as a 49ers fan, we only have one receiver really, and that's a good one. So, you know, if they're going to be giving up some big plays to good one like the Packers did, I think Beathard can be a good option. All right, Gerson, let's go to you over on FanDuel. You got any mid-tier values you want to talk about here?
I think you really just want to target, Baker Mayfield versus Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay right now, they're basically the worst defense in the league. They're 32nd overall in DVOA. They're basically 32nd versus the pass, also in DVOA, 21st in the run, 30th overall. I mean, just horrible. I mean, like all over across the whole board, even tight end, they allow a lot of points. So, I mean, we're looking at for Baker Mayfield. I mean, I know he got hurt a little bit last week, but I think we would have already been told, like, if he was going to play or not, or, like, you know, if he was actually dealing with some bad injuries, or if it looked like he was, like, questionable, you know?
Right, right.
But overall, it's just Tampa Bay has been what the defense we want to attack every single time. The last four quarterbacks that played them, I swear, they've all gotten over 30 points.
Yep.
I mean, Matt Ryan.
I mean, they got their coordinator got fired because of that. They got a new defensive coordinator now because he got fired.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Smith got fired. So, I mean, that kind of tells you, you know, hey, yeah, we got to change something up. And I don't think they'll change much up because you can replace the coach.
Yeah.
You can't replace the player.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. But, all right. We got another question here on Facebook real quick while we're on quarterbacks. Jameis Winston or Drew Brees this week? Are you going to go down to Winston? Or are you going to pay up for Drew Brees in Baltimore?
You asking me or Tim?
I'm asking you. We're here on you. So go ahead and answer the question, and I'll ask Tim.
Okay. I think I'm not playing Drew Brees. I mean, Drew Brees is on the road, right? Versus the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
I don't want to play Drew Brees on the road, especially versus a good defense like the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, Baltimore Ravens have a pretty solid defense. I believe they're ranked I think they're like number 3 or 4, right?
Yeah.
Second overall in DVOA in defense. So overall, I mean, tough matchup. Fifth overall in DVOA versus quarterback. And they covered when they got Jimmy Smith back now, you know, they have some pretty good shutdown cornerbacks. Not shutdown, but, you know, just a better secondary overall.
Yeah.
But much rather play Jameis Winston because I'm pretty sure one of you guys is going to talk about him right now.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go to you. First, what do you think of Winston and Brees? And then is there any other guys you wanted to talk about on DraftKings?
No, I mean, I do like Winston better than Brees. If I was going to play one of the two, it would be him. I like some of the other guys in Winston's price range, so I probably won't be playing a lot of him, but I think he's a good play, much better than Brees.
All right. We got one more question here, too, on Facebook here from Cody Davis on quarterbacks as well. How do you feel about Derek Anderson and possibly a stack with Kelvin Benjamin? Because they did have some chemistry going back to their Carolina days. What do you think of that, Gerson? I know last week I think the Millie Maker winner was Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson. So do we have a situation like that going on in Buffalo this week with these two guys?
No. It's just Colts have one of the best pass rush in the NFL. This guy just signed with the team like 8 days ago, I believe, almost like 9 days ago. I mean, you get that much time to learn the quarterback position, which is probably the hardest position to learn because you got to learn all the audibles. You got to learn your players, like how they want the balls caught. You know, you just got to learn the whole offense, basically. I'm going to pass, man.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, enough. I completely agree. I think it's a totally different situation. I think if you cashed in on Brock last week, you know, congrats for you, but cash it in and move on. I don't think that's going to hit again.
All right. Fair enough.
I can't believe that. $1 million because of fucking Brock Osweiler.
Hey, man, honestly, like, I kind of wanted to mention this, and since we're on that game right now, I'm sure you guys are in the same boat. Last week, I was really high on the Ravens. I mentioned it on the podcast. They were my number one defense, like 80%. And like everybody, I woke up Sunday morning, saw that Brock was starting, switched to like 80% Bears. I don't think it was 80%. It was like 60% Bears. And obviously, it was 21 points versus 3. And that one definitely tilted me last week. And I didn't think that, you know, the difference in my way. I mean, I still had a good week, but the difference between a good week and a great week was Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. I think I'm in the same boat. I was on the Bears before Brock Osweiler pretty heavy. And then when he got announced as starter, I was like, all right, good. I'm going to leave my shares just the way it is. I'm going to roll this out. And I'm like, oh my God, they just were just not what you expected for sure. All right. So we got all the quarterbacks covered. Let's go ahead and jump over to the tight ends now. And we'll start with you, Tim, over on DraftKings. What you got for tight ends for us?
Yeah, if I'm paying up, there's really only two guys I'm even considering paying up for. Like I said, this week I'm going to have a pretty tight core to the games that I think have, you know, good possibilities of, you know, turning out with high scores. So the guys that I like this week are Zach Ertz and George Kittle. Yep. And so if I'm going to pay up for tight end, which I usually don't, and I probably won't have a lot of exposure to these guys, but if I am going to pay up, I will have some exposure. to Ertz and Kittle.
Ertz and Kittle on DraftKings. All right. Gerson, you over here laughing at Tim, man. What's up? What you got for your elite plays over on FanDuel?
I'm not laughing at his plays. I'm laughing at his squeak for a second.
Yeah, I did.
But
we are a mess tonight, man. A mess.
Before we move on from quarterback, I did want to mention one more quarterback. Kirk Cousins versus the New York Jets. He has a really good matchup. The New York Jets defense is basically really thin on the cornerback right now. Like, they lost Buster Screen. They lost their other cornerback and one of their safeties. So Kirk Cousins is in play. But at tight end, I think this week you really, for tight end on FanDuel, Zach Ertz, like Tim mentioned, a great play. But like overall, I mean, I never pay for tight end. And that's what I hate. I think this is the week where it might have to be like, I'll probably pay up for like a mid-tier tight end or a higher tight end, you know? Because there's not really that one tight end that stands out on FanDuel nor on DraftKings. But David Njoku stands out for me. With Baker Mayfield, he's been getting targeted so much heavy, very heavily. I think he has over, let me get the stats real quick for him, because I have tight ends all the way down the bottom. He has brought in 18 targets and 18 targets compared to like what Landry has. So actually more than that. I don't know where my other note is, but he had 3 straight catches with 5 catches and 50 yards, 3 straight games. So this game, Cleveland Brown versus Tampa Bay, if we know anything, if you guys remember, Vance McDonald, you know, he killed them. And then now we are at David Njoku versus Tampa Bay, ranked 29th overall in DVOA tight end. I'm going to have a lot of exposure to David Njoku this week.
Yeah, agreed. I think I got him as one of my top plays as well. I also like the tight end on the other side of the ball there, O.J. Howard. He came back kind of miraculously last week from MCL and just, you know, I don't know. Everyone was on break. I know. We were all on break because it was like, oh, he's not going to play. He's not going to play. He was ruled in. Then I was like, still, I'm going to play break. I doubt they play O.J. Howard that much. And then, of course, they go and play O.J. Howard and he has a really good game. So I definitely like him. And like Tim mentioned, Eric Ebron, if I'm paying up, I'll pay up for Eric Ebron. But I think I'm with you, Gerson, in the sense that I'm not going to be paying up for tight end this week. Njoku is probably the highest I'm going to go up on tight end this week. I think I'm going to be looking some more of the value plays, which we'll go ahead and talk about some of those value plays now, Tim, over on DraftKings. What you got for some of your values?
Yeah, like Garrison said, I think the number one value is probably David Njoku. He's going to be my highest owned guy at tight end this week. I also like O.J. Howard. Like you said, I'll have some exposure to him. And then the only other guy I'll have some exposure to in that range, I think, is going to be Trey Burton. I think that he works well in that scheme. I think that they're going to work well to get him. We know that Belichick likes to take away things that you do well. So I think he's going to try and take away Allen Robinson, try and take away the running game and make Mitch Trubisky beat him. So I think Trubisky makes an interesting option. As I mentioned earlier, you want to pair him with somebody like Trey Burton.
Yep, I agree with that one for sure. You got any tight ends over here on FanDuel, Gerson, that you like that are in the value range besides Njoku there?
No, I don't really got any value, guys. I mean, overall, I mean, Njoku is 5,700. That's pretty cheap. Other than that, I mean, I guess you can make a case for, you mentioned O.J. Howard, 5,800 too. Yeah. Overall, I don't really see any other guy. You want to make a case, like you want to throw in like a flyer. Tight end, you guys, nobody knows, but with, what's his name, Niles Paul going on the injured reserve, and then also, what's his name?
O'Shaughnessy or whatever.
O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah, O'Shaughnessy.
O'Shaughnessy going on, he got, what, is he on the injured reserve, or he's just out for now.
Yeah.
Yeah. David Greenidge is probably going to be the starting tight end for them. It's kind of like he's 4,000 on FanDuel, so... I mean, if you just want to, like, I don't really care about tight ends on FanDuel, to be honest, because it's not PPR, and it's very dependent heavily on touchdowns.
Touchdowns, yep.
And to me, the only player that I see getting double-digit touchdown upside this week is probably Zach Ertz, so.
Yep, I agree with you on that one. The only other name I wanted to throw out there, and he's a true dart throw for a GPP play, is only because of the type of game he's going to be playing in, and that's Hayden Hurst, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. Flacco loves his tight ends. Now, he hasn't shown much love to Hayden Hurst so far this year. I think he's only got 3 targets in 2 games that he's played. But we saw in the preseason that they do use him in the red zone. I think the very first game they actually threw to him three times, and all three times were in the end zone. So if he has that kind of ability and they actually trust him, I think Hayden Hurst could be a good cheap option on FanDuel and DraftKings. And then we have another question on Facebook, and this is for Tim on DK. Chris Herndon for the Jets. Do we like him at all going up against the Vikings?
I think he's a good punt play. I think that there are a lot of solid plays in the value range at wide receiver that you don't have to pay down that high. I mean, that low. I mean, I think there are better plays.
There are better plays. Yeah, I agree. I think there's better plays on that as well. And then, so we don't have Jason on this week to give us some of our cash plays. Who are your, I'll go to both of you actually. Who are the cash game plays for both quarterback and tight end on FanDuel, Gerson?
Hold on.
You don't got to do much to look like your brother. You know you're twins. You don't got to do much.
I'm Jason, guys. So we actually have his players right here. Hold on, let me pull it up, guys. I think his quarterback cash game was C.J. Beathard and Baker Mayfield. And then at tight end, he had David Njoku. He can't. Yeah, David Njoku has his cash game plays for it. So he said, actually, this is a little note from him. C.J. beat me hard and Baker moneymaker. And then David Njoku. That's Jason for you guys.
What about over on DK? Same thing, Tim, over on DK, or you got a different selection there?
No, I think that's probably the right call.
All right. Agreed. Gerson is killing our audio there with all that noise in the background. He is definitely Jason this week.
Yeah, there you go. See, I had to do it 100%.
All right. Are there any more tight ends that we want to talk about before we move on to defenses?
No, I think we're good.
All right, let's move on to the defenses then, and we will go to you, Gerson, first. What are your top defenses? Just go ahead and give me all your defenses this week, both elite and value.
I think the elite is Jaguars, Colts, and then value for me is the Eagles. And, yeah, that's basically it for me. I don't really got to explain the Jaguars. I mean, we all know who they're playing. This is a great spot for them. I think they're going to have a bounce-back spot in this game. I mean, overall, a lot of people are probably not going to play him because of the price, but Deshaun Watson has allowed an interception in every game, and they allow a league high in sack. So I've been saying it every week. I'm going to target Houston Texans offense every week because they allow a lot of turnovers and a lot of sacks. So that's what we're looking for. And I think the Jaguars, they just traded for fucking Carlos Hyde. I don't know why, but apparently they want to win. So. And Vegas kind of agreed with it. I mean, they have Houston Texans low, Empire total pretty low too. So I like the Texans. I like the Colts because of their pass rush. You're playing Derek Anderson, you know. They had 19 sacks on the season, lead the NFL.
Yep.
At home too. And Vegas has them going for -7, so they're favored. And the Eagles defense, I just always play the Eagles defense because of the pass rush. And they can get some sacks on Cam Newton. And Cam Newton's not as good as he is at on the road. So, I mean, I like Cam Newton as a play because of his upside. But he can throw a couple picks and sacks, and they're really cheap. I think on DraftKings, they're really, really cheap. But on FanDuel, I don't know their price. Let me find out their price. Go ahead, Tim, take over because...
All right. You got any more defenses on DraftKings that we haven't talked about yet, Tim?
Yeah, well, he mentioned the Colts. They're probably my favorite defense this week. As he mentioned, they get Derek Anderson, and they're at home. Second favorite defense this week is the Vikings. They're on the road, but they get Sam Darnold. I don't think that this is going to be a game like we saw with Jared Allen. I think that they're going to be able to get some turnovers here and put up some points. And then kind of alluding to one of my plays later, I think another good defense play this week is the Cowboys. I think you can pair them in a stack. And I think that they're going to be able to get to Alex Smith. He's looked worse than I think he probably ever has. More checkdowns than ever. They have a decent pass rush. I'm not too worried about them being able to put up a ton of points. So I think that if they can get a turnover, get some points, they can more than pay off value.
All right, good stuff there. The only one I'm going to add to that list, I'm surprised nobody mentioned them, is the Buffalo Bills on the opposite end of that Colts game. The Bills' defense has been surprisingly good. Of course, T.Y. Hilton is supposed to be back, so that might help them a little bit. But the Bills got a pretty good lockdown corner there in Tre'Davious White. And I was going to get a note similar to the one that I had on Beathard. But they got three of their last four games, at least on FanDuel scoring. They've had double-digit scoring. They had 14 against Houston, 12 against Tennessee, and 17 against Minnesota. The one game they didn't have it was against Green Bay. They only had six. But they've been a sneaky good defense, and they're super, super cheap. They're only $3,400 on FanDuel. I don't know what they are over on DraftKings, but I imagine they're pretty cheap over there as well.
Yeah, $2,300.
$2,300 over there. So, yeah, I think they've been sneaky good. I think that with that offense, I mean, Andrew Luck's got no weapons. You know, even if T.Y. Hilton comes back, he basically still has no weapons. I think the Ryan Grant's going to be out. I think Chester Rogers will be his number two receiver. They do have, of course, Ebron there, but he's not necessarily a game breaker. So I think that the Bills could definitely get after after Andrew Luck. So that's probably my top defense, actually, on both sides. All right, so we covered the defenses. Any more defenses you want to mention, Gerson, before we move on?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, so pretty simple there. Not a lot of defenses to go over. We'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about receivers and running backs.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right, welcome back. We're here with Gerson and Tim, as usual, talking about the slate for this weekend. As always, of course, you can follow the show after it's been broadcast live on all major podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, etc. We're also on YouTube immediately after the show. I post it on YouTube as well. So if you miss anything, you can always go back and check it out. I wanted to cut the commercial break a little bit short because we are running long due to the fact that we didn't get started late. So we're going to go ahead and just jump right into the running back position. And since I'm on DraftKings on my screen here, I'm going to go ahead and go to you first, Tim. What do you got for your elite running backs, your high-priced running backs over on DraftKings?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, there's not a lot of high-scoring games on this slate. So I think in this position, you have to play Todd Gurley, at least in cash and obviously a good amount in tournaments. I think there is some, you know, thought that you may want to fade him in some of your tournament lineups, but I'm just going to have a ton of Todd Gurley, probably my number one overall player. And then a lot of my lineups, I will be pairing him, like I alluded to earlier, with Ezekiel Elliott. I love him in this spot this week, both because of the number of good spots on the slate and because of his history against the Redskins. You know, the Cowboys have a good offensive line. They have a terrible defensive line. I think that he's going to get a ton of yards and has a good shot at one, if not more, touchdowns. So I think for the upside, I love Zeke.
Yeah, I think I was looking at Zeke as well, and I was doing his splits versus teams because, I live in D.C., so I hear a lot about the Cowboys. And it just seemed like Elliott just killed the Redskins. So I was like, let me look at his splits. He has 5 touchdowns versus the Redskins, more versus that first Redskin than any other team. I think the next closest team was my team, the 49ers. He's got 3 TDs versus us, and the rest is like 2 or 1 TD. So he loves playing the Redskins for obvious reasons. They're a rival. So I think Zeke Elliott gets up for the Redskins, and he's definitely a good play there. Gerson, what do you got over on FanDuel? You got anybody besides Gurley?
No, I mean, those two guys are basically your top plays, and they're going to be really shocked. Like, I think this week, if there's any position that's pretty straightforward, pretty obvious everybody's going to play, it's running back. There's only, for me, and maybe it's just me, I only see 6 viable plays that I really just want to play. And we already mentioned 2 of them. The other 2 that I, well, actually, since we're on FanDuel, we have to break that down now to, like, only 4 viable plays, because PPR is way different than for half PPR. But I think the other guy that I'm looking at is Kerryon Johnson versus the Miami Dolphins. Kerryon Johnson, they announced that Theo Riddick is out this week, and he's 6,500. And I think this is the week where Kerryon Johnson finally gets the bigger workload. And, well, you know, I just... don't think LeGarrette Blount is actually like a thing. I mean, I honestly believe
they're trying to make him a thing, though. I tell you what, they're trying to make him a thing for sure.
Yeah, it's so frustrating too, because like here you see, I don't know, like I sometimes think that, like, I know a lot of us are like, oh, we can coach better than them, or we can do this better than them, or what is he doing, you know? But like sometimes it makes me wonder, okay, you have a running back that's averaging almost 6 yards per carry, or 5.5 or something like that. And then you got LeGarrette Blount that's averaging 1.2 or something like that. That doesn't make any sense. But Kerryon Johnson at 6,500. Another running back is, I was on him, but like I told you today, there was a lot of breaking news, so you had to change up a lot of things. And I think I'm still going to stick to him, because if I'm correct, they said that Carlos Hyde is not going to play, right?
Correct. He's not going to play this week.
Okay. So TJ Yeldon versus the Houston Texans. Actually, the Houston Astros are long gone, baby. Oh, yeah. Go Red Sox. But TJ Yeldon still makes a good play for me at 6,800 on FanDuel. I mean, overall, if you want to beat the Houston Texans, you're not going to beat them through the run, but I think he has that PPR upside. And the thing with I know I'm saying FanDuel, but with the way the Jaguars use Yeldon, they use him in the red zone, like that little dump off screen pass and then get the touchdown.
It's basically a run play. Yeah, it's basically a run play.
Like basically like a run play. And that's the way you're going to beat Houston. You're not going to beat them through the run. But overall, I like Jeldon's price at 6,800. I think you're going to talk about this other guy, Jeff, because I saw him on your list. So I'll let you break him down.
All right. I'm assuming you're talking about Nick Chubb. Everybody's, of course, on Nick Chubb. He's extremely cheap on both of them. He's giving everybody in the DFS and Dynasty community, he's giving him Chubb. So I got to go with that.
Yeah, I got
the Chubb. Got to go with that.
The Chubb.
Yeah, it was definitely good news to my Dynasty team. I've been holding on to Chubb, sitting on my bench for a while, waiting for him to get the opportunity. I thought Hyde would get hurt, but, you know, even better, he got traded. So it's Chubb's show now. I don't think that it changes Duke Johnson's role very much. Everyone was kind of like, oh, Duke Johnson will get more touches now. I think, you know, maybe if it's a 3rd and 10, you know, it's a deeper sort of third down play. But I think Chubb is going to be in there for most of the plays. I think Carlos Hyde didn't have a game this year where he had less than 16 touches. I think Chubb steps right into that role and continues on doing what Hyde was doing beforehand. Hopefully just better than that. So Chubb is definitely going to be the chalk play, obviously the cash play as well. He's how you're going to be able to afford some of these higher priced guys that we're talking about. So we'll go ahead and go on DraftKings now. Do you have anybody else on your list besides Chubb, Tim?
Yeah. Obviously, like you said, he's the main chalk, you know, cash play. I do think that there are some players that you can mix in if you want to get off Zeke to afford some of the high-priced wide receivers we're going to mention. Some of the mid-range plays, I like 2 guys in the same game, Tariq Cohen and then Sony Michel. I'm going to be playing a good amount of exposure to both of those guys. I really like Tariq Cohen's usage in the last couple games. He's getting as many snaps, if not more, than Jordan Howard. I like his usage better, especially on DraftKings. So I'm going to have some Tariq Cohen. And then, like I said, I want some Sony Michel as well. And
you don't think that game script's going to go bad for Sony Michel?
I think like I said, I don't want a ton of him, but I don't want none of him. I think that, like you said, they could use him in that role where he could still end up getting, you know, a couple touchdowns and easily paying off his pay his price. But I think that New England's going to be able to move the ball on this team. I think they're going to find ways to do it, and I think some of that's going to go to Sony Michel.
So you Gerson, you think that Michel will get phased out? Why? I mean, I think if the Patriots are in this game, they're running it. If they're up by a lot, they're going to run it. The only chance that they're going to be not running Michel is if the Bears get up big, and I don't expect it to be happening.
Well, when you play the Bears defense, they haven't allowed one touchdown to a running back this year. And Sony Michel is really dependent on touchdown. I know he gets yards, but, I mean, he only has, like, what, one reception the whole year? I don't know how many receptions he has, but he doesn't have that many, I know that. I almost figure this is going to be and I hate to disagree with you, Tim, but we always have... If you're always agreeing with everybody on the same podcast, you're going to get bored.
Yeah.
But I think this is more
of
a James. Yeah, I get bored of Jeff sometimes, guys. No, I'm kidding. I think there's more of a James White game because of that run defense that they have. And they're going to put pressure on Tom Brady. So it'll allow Tom Brady to do a little dump off passes with James White. And that chemistry they have, James White and Tom Brady, is really good for, like, blitz pickup, you know. So, like, basically if they blitz him, they put pressure on him. And right now Isaiah Cannon, the left tackle for the left or the right, I don't know which one, but
a tackle.
But he's questionable. So if he's out and then Khalil Mack against a backup tackle, that's gonna be a lot of pressure on Tom Brady. So I can kind of see this being more of a James White game. Now again, James White, let me see what he is on FanDuel, he's $7,300. Not a bad price, but overall, this is more of a PPR play, so it's kind of hard. But we've seen it. James White's getting touchdowns. He's gotten like what? Let's see. Oh, he only got one touchdown. I guess I'm wrong. It's Michelle getting all the touchdowns, but in this game script, it's gonna be James White getting touchdowns. And I don't know. I just feel like the Bears defense, they haven't allowed a touchdown all year, so Sony Michel just doesn't make to my list, you know.
That's a good call. Now I will say that they didn't allow a touchdown all year, but they did have Kenyon Drake fumble on the 1 yard line. I think he probably would have scored had he not fumbled. True. So, but yeah, I get your point there with that. I was thinking more of a score gain script. I guess with the defense there, you're probably right. They're probably not going to run the ball very well. I still like Michel a little bit in tournaments, but I wouldn't have any cash game exposure to Michel. Tim, you had one more guy you wanted to talk about, didn't you, before Kirsten cut you off?
Well, no, I just wanted to mention last week, another play that I moved to right on Sunday morning was Latavius Murray. I played him that day, and I don't like him as much this week. I do think he's in play. But like we said, with the Chubb news and with Kerryon, I think they make better plays and they're cheaper. So I'm probably going to have a lot more of them.
All right. Good call. We do have a question from Tim Parker on Facebook here. What about Shady McCoy, dirt cheap on DK and facing the Colts?
I did look at him. I didn't mind him. I think he's going to be a very good value play, but I just can't put my money on Derek Anderson, you know, to move the ball that well. I he's viable for me, but the thing is, mostly in tournament, so I'll have exposure to him in tournament, but he's not a play that I really want to, like, kind of throw out there for people, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough touchdown upside there for me to be interested.
All right, fair enough. I did have one more guy I wanted to throw out there, and, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks, Beathard already. I do like Breida. It looks like he will play this week. He's listed as healthy on off the injury report. I mentioned it multiple times on this podcast, but Beathard loves throwing to his running backs. I think he's pretty much led the league in that category all of last year and then probably most of this year as well. So with Breida back there, if the Rams do get up big, they're going to be throwing the ball a ton. Breida will be the check down guy there. So if you want to even stack a Beathard and Breida, it's a pretty cheap stack. That's something that I would look at as well. Breida's probably a little bit more on the tournament side of things. But I do like Breida this week. And I think he's doing, you know, fairly well on the ground. So I think at one point he was averaging 6 yards per carry. I think it's a lot of it on big runs. That's why he's getting that 6 yards per carry. But I think Breida could be a good play. Other than that, I think y'all mentioned all the other guys. Is there anybody else y'all wanted to mention before we moved on?
Not from what I like. I mean, I feel like I'm missing one guy off my list, but let me check my note. But go on, keep going.
All right.
I'm pretty sure I'm missing something.
Tim, you got anybody you want to mention?
He didn't say Duke.
Oh, well, Duke's in play on DraftKings, not on FanDuel for me. Right. I mean,
because of the PPR.
I just want to let everybody know, Nick Chubb is 4,800 on FanDuel. So it's a pretty much a locked in play for the week. It's a free square. I don't know. That's what everybody's thinking, but I don't know if I want to do that because he could legit only get like 70 yards and no touchdown, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's not really a PPR running back. That's Duke Rowe, but just be cautious with that, you know? But yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Tim, anybody you wanted to mention before we move on?
Nope. I think we're good.
All right. Let's go to the wide receivers then. We'll start at the top with some of these elite guys. Who are you paying up for on DraftKings this week, Tim?
Well, I think my favorite play, especially with the news opening up with Nick Chubb, is I'm going to pay up for Adam Thielen. He's just been so automatic, over 100 yards in every game, got a ton of touchdown equity, and obviously he gets one of the best wide receiver cornerback matchups this week in the slot against the Jets. So I'm probably going to have him, a lot of exposure to him. Another guy that I really like, and he's gotten a good amount of talk, but I still think he's very worth the play, is Robert Woods. He's expected to get more run because Cooper Kupp is out. They're expecting him to, you know, play more snaps in the slot, get some more favorable coverages and against the Niners. So I like Robert Woods a lot. I think in GPPs, you know, tournaments, you can fade him for Brandon Cooks if you want some exposure, you know, at a lower ownership. And then another guy I'm interested, Garrison mentioned earlier, Baker Mayfield. One of his targets this week, other than Njoku, is going to be Jarvis Landry. Another great wide receiver cornerback matchup, probably the best one on the slate against the slot in Tampa Bay. Obviously, he plays in and outside, but he's going to get favorable coverages against that terrible pass defense. And one guy I think that's more of a leverage play, but I still like him, is DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he's going against the Jaguars. You know, they're a great defense, but he still has had a touchdown, I think, in his last couple games against him. We saw last week, even with shadow coverage, they were able to get the ball to him. I think they find ways to get the ball to him. So if you want to get him at a lower price and at lower ownership, I think it makes sense to play Hopkins in tournaments.
Yep, I agree 100% with all of those calls there. Gerson, anybody you on FanDuel that he didn't already talk about?
Well, he talked about Hopkins. Landry, right?
Yep. Touched on Landry.
And Thielen, right?
Yep.
Okay, double second here. I like all those guys. Hopkins is, to me, it's matchup proof. He's one of those wide receivers that's basically matchup proof. Landry's in a good spot, and Thielen, well, he's going to be, he's going to get another 100 yard, 10 catch game, that's for sure. So, I like those calls on Tim. The only other guy that I want to mention down there is Cooper Kupp. Oh, not Cooper Kupp. Don't play him. Robert Wood. Cooper Kupp being out is going to allow him to get a lot of market share. I mean, right now he's getting about 26%. I believe that's going to go up to at least 30% with Cooper Kupp being out. And as we know, Cooper Kupp does play that red zone threat. And so I think if they get in the red zone, they'll move Robert Wood to that position and that spot, you know, he'll get opportunities there. It's just, it's playing the 49ers defense, ranked 26 in DVOA pass defense. You know, you just want to pick on that. And I, like I said early on, if I'm going to have Goff, I'm going to have some, Robert Wood, sorry.
You like love some Cooper Kupp right now.
Hey, man, I love Cooper Kupp. I play him every week. He's my boy. But kind of sad when he got hurt. I was like, oh no.
You're my boy, Coop.
Yes, yeah, true. Robert Wood. But I do want to be contrarian because everybody's going to be on Robert Wood. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about Brandon Cook. So I'm going to bring it right back to the other side with Brandon Cook. Brandon Cook is just basically the same role, same position. He does have a little bit of tougher matchup, but I do think he can overcome that. Because it's supposed to be Richard Sherman, but I don't think Richard Sherman is going to be able to really stop Brandon Cook because he's so much faster than him. And as we've seen in the past, Richard Sherman tends to get burned by fast wide receivers. even his own teammate Marquise Goodwin, T.Y. Hilton. I can't remember all the fast wide receivers he's gotten burned by, but he's gotten burned by all the fast ones. And I always like to pick on Richard Sherman when he has a matchup against a fast wide receiver because, well, he's old, overpaid, and he negotiates his own contract.
All right, good stuff. The only one I want to throw out there, and this is more of a tournament play, we talked about him last week and he kind of let us down. I think his ownership will be lower because of that, and that's Mike Evans. Cleveland's very good against the pass. They're actually third DVOA overall against the pass, but against number one receivers, they're actually 15th, so they're not quite as good against number ones. And I think Mike Evans, the fact that he didn't get many targets last week, I think he's been in Jameis Winston's ear all week. I think they find a way to get him the ball. But again, tournament play, because it is a tough matchup. But I do like me some Mike Evans this week.
Yeah, I like that call for sure. He actually makes out to be like my fourth best value wide receiver on FanDuel because he's only 7,800. So definitely a great call.
Agreed. All right, Tim, let's go to you for DraftKings. Who you got for your mid-tier and values over on DraftKings?
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, Nick Chubb opens up some cash for you to spend. Some of those guys that you might have paid down for at wide receiver, you can upgrade into some of these mid-tier guys. Garrison mentioned last week that he thought it was a Michael Crabtree week. Obviously, that ended up paying off value, so good call there. This week, I'm going back to the play that was more popular, I think, last week, which was John Brown. I think he's going to get the more advantageous matchup against Ken Crawley. I think he's got a real chance to make some downfield plays in this game. And so I'm going to go to John Brown. I think some people, he burned some people last week, so maybe the ownership won't be as popular. And then I mentioned earlier, I like the Bears-Patriots game to be a little sneaky high scoring. So I'm going to play both of the Patriots wide receivers. I think on upside, I think I prefer Josh Gordon. He's been pretty well, put into that offense at this point. Edelman will always be his, you know, safety blanket, if you will. He'll always have PPR upside. But I really like Josh Gordon at his price.
Yeah, I agree with all those plays. I had Josh Gordon on my list as well. I think that this past week was his most snaps he's played in a Patriots uniform yet. So I think that continues to be the case. And I think he will be a very good high upside mid-tier player there. Obviously he's got big playability. We saw it 2 weeks ago, I think, when he had that touchdown where Brady just threw it up in the air and he went up and got between two guys. So he's got that ability. So I love that Josh Gordon call. John Brown, yeah, you're right. Everybody's on John Brown last week, and he ended up not doing as much. It was Crabtree that Gerson called out, so good call on that one. I did have one mid-tier that we hadn't talked about yet. I want to mention Allen Robinson, actually. You know, last week I was on the opposite side. I was on the Gabriel. Actually, for the last 2 weeks I've been on Gabriel, and he's been paying off pretty well for me. But the Patriots are terrible against number one receivers, and I think Robinson goes back to being a number one receiver in this game. Now, granted, you got to check his status because he was questionable last time I looked, so make sure he's playing and healthy. But I think that he can have a good game against that Patriots defense there. They're actually ranked 29th DVOA versus the number one receiver on the opposing team, so I think that he can be a good play as well and kind of sneaky because he's going to be a lower owned because of his performance last week. And then Gerson, what do you got over here on FanDuel for some of your mid-tiers?
I think some of the news that broke today that Theo Riddick was going to be out kind of made me interested in some of those wide receivers for the
Lions.
I mean, overall, I like him more on DraftKings, but I have to mention him because on FanDuel, they're still in play. Kenny Golladay and Golden Tate both come out to be pretty good value for me. I think Miami is actually pretty... I mean, they're a pretty good defense overall. I mean, I think right now they're ranked what in DVOA defense?
11th. Nope, I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong screen.
Yeah, 11th overall.
Yeah, for the pass.
They're ranked 9th overall in DVOA defense. But overall, I think in this game, if they don't depend on the run game, they're going to have to pass the ball. And with their price is really cheap. I mean, they're $7,000 for Kenny Golladay. And then Tate is 7,400. Those are pretty good mid-range prices for the volume they're probably going to get this week. And I expect a very different with Theo Riddick being out, Golden Tate getting those more, because sometimes they'll put Theo Riddick out on a slot or they'll put him around, they'll work him around. And I think Tate and Kenny Golladay will just get more usage and more touches. Not even touches and usage, I mean like more opportunity for route run, you know?
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. All right. Any deep values in there, Tim, that you want to talk about on DraftKings?
Yeah, a couple guys. One guy, like you said, Taylor Gabriel. I do like your Allen Robinson call, but I still think Gabriel is in play.
Agreed.
Another guy that a lot of guys are high on right now is Jermaine Kearse. He's going to be getting a good amount of snaps, and now that Quincy Anunoby was out, he's going to be almost exclusively in that slot role. We know Sam Darnold likes to target his slot receivers, so I think Kearse makes a great value play at wide receiver. Another guy in that price range is Willie Snead. We know, again, you want to target New Orleans in the slot, and he's only 4,000 on DraftKings. That's even revert the revenge narrative, if you will. You know, he was a former Saint. So you get the 4,000, you get the slot, you get the revenge narrative. So I like Willie Snead a lot. And then again, on the opposite side of that game, Jeff, it's your boy, Traquan.
Traquan finally broke out last week.
Yes, they finally fed him the ball. I was so happy. Obviously, you know, if you had him, he was a great play. He's 3,700 this week. Now that they put Ted Ginn on IR, I think that he's going to be getting a lot more snaps in this offense. So for 3,700, I think he's got great upside. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens, like we said, they're great defense. They're great against the pass. But for 3,700, he's got, you know, better upside than a lot of other guys in that range.
Yep, agreed. It takes one blown coverage for him to hit value, basically, and Breeze will find him if they do blow that coverage. What about over on FanDuel, Gerson? You got some values for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to cover that. Jason would have said that cash game plays were Gurley at running back, Zeke at running back, and Chubb. And then at wide receiver, it would have been Wood and Kearse and Thielen. But overall, it's kind of hard to pay up for Thielen. But the thing is, you guys covered it all. I mean, Gabriel, Kearse, both good players. I mean, and I swear to God, this is probably going to be the last time I'm going to mention this guy. And if he doesn't perform, I'm probably never going to talk about him ever in my life. And I will drop him in every fantasy league I have. Okay. Antonio Callaway. God's sake. Learn how to play football. But just a straight GPP, low value him. But another guy, I don't hear too much, a lot about him, maybe because of the Nick Chubb value, but Josh Reynolds for the Rams. Josh Reynolds is 3,500 on DraftKings.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure he's minimum priced on FanDuel. I don't know if I would really want to play him on FanDuel, but he is a good play on DraftKings. I think he's just going to step right into that Cooper Kupp role. And we all know, like, they get so many targets everywhere. And Reynolds actually really good. Like, in college, this guy was a flat-out baller, like, straight up. Like, I remember playing him in DFS college when they had it. And, like, he's just really good. Like, but I'm telling you, Reynolds, 3,500, you couldn't do worse for, like, value, but with Nick Chubb opening up, kind of eliminates a lot of values this week.
Agreed. The only other one I wanted to add there is Marquise Goodwin. I feel like I'm hyping my boys up this week, but for good reason. Goodwin showed last week that he can still be a game breaker. This Rams team is, like I said, they are beatable. They're not unstoppable on defense. This is going to be a game where we're going to have to pass the ball a ton. So I think Marquise Goodwin is going to be a good play. And, you know, he saw it last week. He can break the big ones, and he can also do the dirty work underneath as well. He can pretty much do it all. So I think that he's a good play, a good stack with Beathard as well. So he's the only one I wanted to throw out there besides that. Is there anybody else that we want to talk about before we move on?
No. I like that. It's a good cheap stack, man. Allows you to, you know, run it back with Gurley and have a ton of the top plays.
Definitely. All right. It is time for Stack in the Box.
To go naked with your quarterback.
All right, Tim, we'll start over on DraftKings. What is your favorite stack of the week?
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it earlier. I like the Bears-Patriots game a lot this week. So my favorite stack is going to be Tom Brady to Josh Gordon. You can also run it back with a number of different Bears options, but I really like Taylor Gabriel, and Tariq Cohen.
All right, good stuff, good stuff. So going with the Bears and the Patriots, Gerson over on FanDuel, what's your favorite stack this week?
I think on FanDuel, the best value stack, and probably because I on FanDuel, I always like to go value because I like to pay up for those running backs. But with Nick Chubb, I mean, I might as well just get my other stud wide receiver and pay up for Zach Ertz or something. So Baker Mayfield and Jarvis Landry, they only take out about $13,600. That's pretty cheap for a quarterback and a wide receiver one combination. That's the cheapest wide receiver one and quarterback combination you're gonna find. And I think this is finally the week Jarvis Landry kind of breaks out.
All right, good stuff there. So kind of give you our insight on how we do this show a little bit, so a little bit of background. Gerson sends out this spreadsheet before this show where we all kind of give our plays so that we can't steal each other's plays. Gerson sent it out before the show and apparently didn't read it because I also had the Browns as my favorite stack of the week. So I actually had I had Baker Mayfield and Njoku actually, and then running it back with either Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. So Brown stack definitely I think is a very cheap stack. You can do a lot with it. Then you can put, you know, if you wanted to throw Chubb in there, I guess you could do that. But I love the Browns.
What with your this boy week. Bethard, man.
Yeah, that's another stack too. Honestly, I was gonna bring that one up, but then I thought somebody else would, and so I wasn't gonna do it because I want to be a homer. But I feel like I've been a homer anyway. I've kind of mentioned them in every single position, so I should have just gone with that play. All right, so we got our stacks of the week. Now it's time for our favorite segment of the week, the sick call of the week, which I think last week, if I'm not mistaken, we all missed. Right? I know my guy was terrible last week.
Can't even remember my guy. Who was it?
I think you were Ito Smith, actually. I think you may have gotten yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you were Ito. Tim, do you remember who you had? I can't remember who you had.
I had it a minute ago, but I forgot, honestly.
Yeah, I can't remember who you had either, but I don't think you hit. I know Jason's sort of kind of hit. He took the under on that Steelers-Bengals game, but it wasn't that far under that it wasn't playable in Daily Fantasy. I think they did 48
He had 103
points.
Players, so...
Yeah. Yeah, my play was Rojo, Ronald Jones, so mine was terrible. I don't think mine even saw the field, so that was just not...
Mine was Cortland Sutton. He got me 8 points.
Cortland Sutton, yep, good call. That's right, that's who you had. He was better play this week because he had that big play last night. So
finally got one. Yeah.
Yep. Good stuff. Good. All right. So we will go with Gerson first. What is your sick call of the week?
So my sick call of the week is going to be 103 point. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be 11 guys they have out on the field. 11 guys, right?
11
on
guys. Yep. Yep.
11 guys in defense. And it's going to be the Detroit Lions defense versus Brock Osweiler. I know nobody is going to think that, oh, wait, Brock Osweiler did great last week. Well, fuck it, dude. I'm playing. I'm going back to the well. I'm attacking you, Brock Osweiler. I am not a believer in you. You all suck, right. And I know you suck. You're the most overpaid quarterback. Well, actually, you're pretty rich, but still the most overpaid quarterback in the NFL. Next to Sam Bradford that holds a clipboard, and I don't know what he does now.
Have we heard, is Ziggy Ansah going to be back for this game? Because that would be big for that defense if he's back.
I don't know yet. I mean, I can double check, but overall, I mean, they're 2,400, I believe, on DraftKings, and on FanDuel, they are, let me make sure, 3,800, which is still pretty cheap, but overall, I think they're going to get some points on him. Let me check on Ziggy Ansah. Go ahead and go.
I think Ziggy might play.
All right, Tim.
I think that's a good call. I think it's a great pivot off of the Bills, which are going to be much more highly owned, I think.
Definitely. All right, Tim, who's your sick call of the week?
All right, well, this one hurts, but I think that he makes an interesting play, and I don't think that anybody's going to be on him, and that's going to be Dante Moncrief. He's one of those guys that, you know, always makes you sick when you play him because he's either going to, you know, give you 15 points or a zero. But I think that this is the week you want to play him, 4,300, pivot off some of those chalkier guys. Give me Dante Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief, all right. Mine's going to make me really sick, actually. I don't think I'm going to have too much exposure to him. I may put him in one line just to see what he does. But it's more of a pick of the fact that there's just nobody else there. I mean, I think Jamison Crowder has been ruled out. I think Paul Richardson is pretty much doubtful. So I'm going with Josh Doxton as my sick call of the week. They don't have much else to throw to right now. I think there's Jordan Reed and then I don't even know who their fourth receiver is. I think Trey Quinn is still there, I believe. So, Mo Harris. Yeah, that's right. He was a big DFS play last week on Showdown slates. So Josh Doctson is my sick call. I think that at his price point, he's pretty cheap on both sites. If he can get one big play, if he can get a touchdown, if he can do anything at all, really, I think he can hit value. And the fact that there's just nobody else to throw the ball to right now, I think he can definitely pay off value. So he's my sick call of the week. Makes me sick to say, because everyone in this area is a Redskins fan, and I've had to hear about Josh Doctson for the last few years, how he's going to break out every year, and it never happens. So
he breaks us something.
Yeah, he's not breaking out, that's for sure. All right. That wraps the show up. It's been a little rough tonight. We had a rough start, and I think a few of us got tongue-tied throughout the show, but I think overall, I think we got some good plays. We put some good stuff out there. So once again, guys, great show. Let's go around the table here and tell everybody where we can follow you at. Tim, we'll start with you.
Yeah, man, you can always find me and Garrison in the DFS Roundtable group on Facebook. And then you can also find me at Keto DFS on Twitter. That's KETODFS.
All right. And Garrison, where can we find you at?
Like Tim said, the DFS Roundtable, we're always on there being active, answering questions. And on Saturday night, like Jeff said earlier on, I always put my good stuff on there, not on here. I do a breakdown. Like, I send out a spreadsheet for free, no cost, giving you all my top plays on DraftKings. I don't really do FanDuel, but not too much. Sometimes it depends on the week. But I basically give you a breakdown. And then at 7 o'clock Mountain Time on Saturday night, I stay there. I do a live video for 1 hour and answer questions and also break down the whole slate all by myself because, well, I love myself and I don't love anybody else. But, yeah.
All right, good stuff. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. You can find the show at goingfor2.com, talkloudradio.com, the Going for Two YouTube page, pretty much every podcast network. We're everywhere. We're even on the app now. You can listen on the app through the audio version, or you can watch the video on the app now as well. So if you haven't gotten the app, it's a free app for iOS and for Android. Just type in Going for Two. It'll come up. And that's a wrap, guys. Let's have a good night.
Peace.
We're on bye.
We're on bye.
Thought y'all like that.